Welcome to Honey and the Hex. I'm Tatum.
And I'm Tansy.
And we're a sibling duo exploring the origins, traditions and intersections of folklore and where they lie today.
Each episode will bring you our learnings of myths, magic and mystery by shining a light on the past and how it's not always as distant as it seems. People first arrived in the Loch Lomond area during the Neolithic period, around 5,000 years ago. And locals of Loch Lomond have reported glimpses of an extraordinary creature circling the loch across many centuries. But who is this rare and infamous beauty? There is an ancient saying that Loch Lomond has a wave without a wind, a fish without a fin, and a floating island.
Loch Lomond, Scottish Gaelic meaning Lake of the Elms, is a freshwater Scottish loch, often noted as the boundary between the lowlands of central Scotland and the highlands. Ben Lomond is a mountain surrounding the lake. The loch is 36 kilometres long and between 1 and 8 kilometres wide, making it the largest lake by surface area in Great Britain.
And oh my, it is stunning.
It's beautiful. It was really breathtaking seeing it.
Our most recent trip to Scotland, we stayed in Glasgow, and then we took a trip to Loch Lomond, and even the drive, I mean, sometimes I get really car sick. It's impossible to be car sick when you're looking out at Loch Lomond.
That's so true, actually. It is breathtaking. We went and did archery in Loch Lomond.
Yes.
And we were really good at archery.
So we went with the coven, Judy and Sarah, and we all realised
that... And Finn. Don't forget Finn.
Sorry, Finn.
Judy and Sarah's dog.
And we realised that we were all actually really talented at archery and that that was our true calling. And then we started Googling, where can we do archery in London? And we're like, we'll do it once a month.
That hasn't happened. But I was living my best Katniss life.
You were really iconic.
Because I think for me also, there's a lot of sports that I can't do because obviously my muscular dystrophy. And finding archery, it was this really good moment for me where I was like, oh, this can be a hobby, this can be a sport. I was always drawn towards the bow and arrow anyway, always loved Katniss. I guess we're talking about Scotland, so maybe it's better to say Merida from Brave, who is an absolute icon. So yeah, it was just so fun to do archery together and we nailed it.
That was a real bonding moment as well. And the instructor really loved us.
Yeah, because we really bought the vibes because everyone was quite boring.
Well, the weather was really up and down, wasn't it? So it was boiling hot sunshine 1 second, and then it was torrential rain another moment, and it was very confusing.
Yeah.
But we, regardless of that, we all really enjoyed it. And
yeah, I mean, because we're having such a good time, it didn't matter that it was absolutely pissing it down, but it was like, it was intense.
Yeah. I was actually bruised all over my arm. Yeah.
I bruise easily. So you do bruise easily, don't you?
Yeah, I do actually. We did actually want to go swimming in there, but Judy's mum advised us that it can be shallow and then suddenly really deep. So you could just be walking on shallow and then suddenly just sink down. So we were...
That makes my belly go.
I know.
I'm actually okay with water.
Yeah.
But it is still like, if I was walking along and then suddenly dropped.
Yeah.
Not great.
For some reason, I absolutely love being in the sea. I jump off boats. I'm quite wild in that way.
I was upset that we couldn't swim because I really do love wild water swimming. I do Hampstead ponds a lot. And whenever I'm away, as long as it's safe, I do get in the water. So it was a shame. But another time, maybe we'll have to find a place where it's okay to swim.
Definitely. But saying that, it is one of Scotland's premier boating and water sports venues. So there's kayaking, paddleboarding, water skiing, and so much more.
Yeah, I don't really have much interest in most of those things. Actually, I would do kayaking.
Oh my gosh, I love kayaking.
But I don't think I would do any water sports because it's not very good for the water, is it?
Yeah, I've done kayaking in like Kent. That was really fun.
Kayaking's great.
Yeah.
Live that Pocahontas dream.
Just around the... This is not musical. Band.
We're going to keep singing throughout this. Okay, content warning. We are going to sing throughout this entire episode.
Season 3 is a musical.
Just around the river bend.
Loch Lomond also serves as the venue for the Great Scottish Swim, and that takes place in August every year.
I also heard someone talking about how there's water taxis to get yourself home, but that sounds a bit worrying after a night out to get a water taxi through Loch Lomond.
I don't know what you mean. That sounds perfect.
Oh, gosh. True.
I'll be doing, let's do shots of Loch Lomond. It's
witchy.
Oh,
my gosh.
The loch forms part of the Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park, established in 2002, the first place in Scotland to be awarded National Park status.
And it was voted the sixth greatest natural wonder in Britain in Radio Times poll in 2005.
We're really coming in with the press.
Loch Lomond PR!
Imagine we just like contact them, like, I think you need some more PR, and Tatum and I are really down for that.
I think it's actually doing fine with the amount of people that visit. I don't think it needs our press.
You're right. Anyway, so let's get into the lore, because that's why we're here.
The Scottish waters are key to Scottish folklore. You may remember our Binia episode from season 2, The Washerwoman of Death, who would wash the clothes of those about to die.
Obviously, the most famous monster in Scotland is the Loch Ness Monster. And there have been so many sightings recorded since she first popped her head out of the water in 565 AD. So that's Nessie. Good old Nessie. But Loch Lomond has her own creepy friend, the Loch Lomond Monster, also known as Lomi or Croc. Sightings of this creature have been quite limited, but from the rare glimpses, she is described as a very large crocodile or alligator type creature.
Another description of Lomi is that of a plesiosaur?
Plesiosaur! It's a plesiosaur,
not a plesiosaur. How do you say it?
Plesiosaur.
Plesiosaur. Thank you, Tansy.
Could be wrong.
Should we look at
paleontologists
it?
Don't come for us.
Let's get the pronunciation.
Plesiosaur.
So the plesiosaur is an ancient marine reptile, which is also in line with Nessie's aesthetic, really.
Absolutely. Them sisters, not twins, cousins, not what do these?
Oh yeah.
It is wild because a lot of these sea monsters we do see in folklore and conspiracy theories and mythology, but these ones did exist, you know. They first appeared around 215 million years ago.
And they're really scary looking.
So scary, but so elegant.
Oh, yeah. I guess elegant. It is wild, though, because I think we come up with these creatures in our nightmares, but actually there's so much stuff in the sea, like in the ocean, that's absolutely terrifying.
In that Mariana Trench. But yeah, they exist. And they're part... They were
did
part
exist.
Of- They do exist.
Wait, still now?
They did exist, and they were part of the plesiosauria, divided into two groups. So the long-necked plesiosaurs and the short-necked pliosaurs. So plesiosaurs are obviously my personal fave. I feel like I have a real connection with them. I just love their long necks, and they were ginormous, and they actually grew up to 43 feet long. They've got these small little pointy heads and very sharp teeth. No turkey visits for them. What is interesting, though, is that they don't have gills. So even though they spend their entire lives in the sea, they have to come up for air before every dive.
That's so cute. I can just imagine them coming up and doing gasp.
And back down again.
That's so sweet. No, little gasp. So much.
Tatum and I trying to adopt a plesiosaur.
Yeah, please. Yeah. So our loch monsters could be ancient marine reptiles who have survived in the waters when their friends had all gone extinct.
That's so sad, isn't it? I'm just the last plesiosaur on Earth.
Yeah.
Things don't come from nowhere. So this makes the most sense in my opinion.
I mean...
Have you ever seen a massive... I've seen a massive... Remember we saw that massive fish?
Owen Goa.
Yeah.
That was really scary. We went out on these dinghies and I don't think we noticed how far we'd sort of gone out.
Yeah.
And then we saw this massive fish and this big plop. And we were like, what, we're going to get eaten alive?
Let's get back to shore. That actually was really scary. It's also one of my favourite memories.
Isn't it funny how when you look back, some of the scariest moments are actually your fondest memories?
Like, we were so far out at sea on tiny little rubber rings.
Yeah, it's funny. So sightings of Lomi are rare, sadly, and they're not as well documented as Nessie. But still, Lomi has been seen. In the 1970s, there were several reports of a creature who was around 12 feet long, looked like a croc, and was spotted killing ducks on Loch Lomond.
Not the ducks. Only the best crispy aromatic for our Lomi.
Oh, gosh.
In 1976, Nick Taylor, a photojournalist turned monster hunter from Edinburgh, took a trip to Loch Lomond to get those answers. So I found a video on some footage room on YouTube, and it's an old interview with Nick, and this is on Strange Universe, Nessie's Cousins. This interview is transcribed from YouTube, so I will keep it verbatim, keep it on my method acting. I am Nick Taylor. There have been stories going back for many years about this, so I thought it would be worth going to check it out. It was dark, I was sitting reading, and I had a candle lit. I heard an almighty splash just down there where I had the bait. And that's when I first saw the monster close up. It was a black, sleek sort of object, and it moved into this bay here, swimming quite slowly. It came into the bay and it went right down to the bottom of the bay. I was totally amazed, so I managed to actually creep down just there. I crept right down to the water's edge, and I'm fairly sure that I saw its head. I mean, it was like a big movement. Its head was roughly the shape of a crocodile. Its triangular head, but it was much deeper. It was much, much deeper. I couldn't really say what it was, but like the nearest thing I could say, it was like a Tyrannosaurus, and that was it. It was gone. Sadly, Nick, a photojournalist, said his camera batteries had run out.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame, Nick. I mean, I guess that was the 70s. But
yeah,
I mean, you're a photojournalist. Anyway, that is a shame. Oh, I also went into this deep dive of conspiracy theories about where Nick Taylor had gone, because on this blog, everyone's like, Nick Taylor went to see another monster after he discovered Lomi, and he's disappeared, apparently.
He's just gone, like...
He's disappeared. I mean, he might have just disappeared off the internet. But no, as someone, a photojournalist, like, no one can find him. Anyway, I read this on a conspiracy blog. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but yeah, I get really lost in this. I'm down in the Mariana Trench of research.
I just can't even, like, engage with it. So I'm glad that you can bring this stuff to the surface for us to discuss. Not that we are validating conspiracy theories, but that is interesting that no one can find him.
I mean, I Googled him many times. So there was another similar experience, and this was had by William Longwell. This was prior to Nick Taylor's account. It was about 18 inches width, and I would say between 5 and 7 feet long. As soon as I seen it, I panicked. I started swimming for the shore. It just kept swimming by me, and it was just that close. I could have reached out with my hand and actually touched it. And well, obviously I went in the other direction and got scared when I seen the size of it. So that's his account.
It said that they're non-violent, so if you want to swim, wouldn't really worry about it too much. I think with a lot of these lock monsters, it's more if you're getting in the way. And that's why maybe they're not seen, because maybe they have magical powers where it's like, I will let you hang around in this water. I'm not going to attack you, but don't be trying to expose me. So what do we think? Is Lomi real?
I think she could have evolved, or she could be a plesiosaur, one of her plesi cousins.
You know, crocodiles existed with dinosaurs and they're basically the same as they were back then.
Exactly.
So,
anyway, if you do want to head to the Natural History Museum, you can see the bones of a plesiosaur. Please report back.
There are some reptiles actually in Loch Lomond. You wouldn't expect to find a sun-soaking reptile in Scotland, in cold Scotland, but adder snakes can be found there. And they don't really mind the cold too much. They come out, get some sun, go back. So if you are around Loch Lomond, keep an eye out. Same thing, really. Just make sure you don't get in the way. Like, they're not really a huge threat. And if you do get bitten, you just need treatment quickly.
I feel like we're literally telling everyone, all our listeners, to just jump in Loch Lomond, see what happens,
do a breaststroke
next to a plesiosaur and say hi to a sun-soaking reptile snake. Please don't try this at home.
We're going to be banned from Scotland. So just be a good guy, you know.
We grew up listening to Scottish folk songs and music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all our mum used to sing to us, our granny, whether it was the Piper o' Dundee, so many different Scottish folk songs. And even to this day, we attended our cousin's birthday recently and we were all just around my banjolele singing folk songs all together. That was
such a nice moment.
It was a beautiful moment.
And I think as well, when we were kids, we really enjoyed mum singing us those songs. And then you get a bit older and you're like, oh my gosh, please stop. And now, as we've really been returning to our roots, it's nice for us to sing those songs. And then we were in this setting with our cousins who are a lot younger than us, to our granddad who had just turned 100, and to have all of those different generations there singing folk songs. It was really beautiful.
It was really special. And our granny is from Paisley, so our granny's Scottish. So we do have that connection.
I'm so proud to have Scottish blood. I just feel that I need to spend more time in Scotland and actually really connect to that.
I completely agree.
Which we are doing slowly.
Yeah, but I'm glad that we do have that connection to the music, and that's something we've shared with our mum and our family.
So, the Bonnie Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond is one of Scotland's most famous folk songs.
I saw in a blog somewhere that someone said that they hear it, they live in Scotland and they hear it played twice a day, at least.
I'm actually really into that.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably hear Ed Sheeran played like twice a day. I'd rather it be Loch Lomond.
Oh, me too.
But what I wonder is, how many people outside of Scotland know the meaning behind the song?
I didn't. You know, I just kind of sang the song and didn't realise the meaning behind the lyrics or the story.
And then it's like, you can't unhear it. You connect to it in another way. But obviously, because it's sung at parties and stuff, you're not really thinking about it. But it is really emotional. So the folk song's title varies between the Bonnie Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, the Banks of Loch Lomond, and plainly Loch Lomond.
The song is said to commemorate the Jacobite army's return from their most southerly point, Derby to Carlisle, in 1745. However, the first written or published version of the song can be dated to 1841 in Vocal Melodies of Scotland.
In essence, the song tells the story of two Scottish soldiers who had been imprisoned. One was to be set free and the other executed. The lyrics, oh, you'll take the high road and I'll take the low road.
Oh, you'll take the high road and I'll take the low road.
Celtic legend speaks of death in a foreign land. If a Scot passes away in a foreign land, their spirit will transport back to their homeland by the low road as a route for the souls of the dead. The high road being the main road, the road of life, which is really, it's really emotional.
Yeah, it's really emotional. That is so beautiful. It is so interesting and wild to me how you can sing lyrics, not really think about the meaning behind them, then hear such an amazing story behind this and a reason for why the song was written. When we were listening to the song on our way to Loch Lomond and Judy told us the story, I can still see what I was seeing as I listened to the song. Does if that make sense?
Yeah, looking out the window.
Yeah, and hearing that, it just kind of feels like a stab, you know? Mm. Like that kind of emotion that's so overwhelming that you don't know whether to like cry or you just need to take a breath. And when you're with your friends and you're looking out on that scenery and listening to that song, that really got me.
Yeah, because the song is actually quite simple, and I think that's why there are so many renditions. I mean, if you type it into Spotify, you've got numerous, or YouTube. But there's something about simplicity that I think is very moving, and the emotion builds throughout the song. Yeah, I get full body tingles, and I already felt that when I heard the song, but now connecting to the lore behind it, it just takes it to a whole nother level emotionally.
I completely agree. There's a version, one of the most played on Spotify, which is the one that we listened to when we were on our way to Loch Lomond. It's Alistair MacDonald and Leo Maguire, and Maguire intros the song with a beautifully spoken narration. There is an old Celtic belief that when a man dies in a foreign land, his spirit returns via the low road. In 1745, two Scottish soldiers were made captive in Carlisle, one of whom was to be set free and the other executed. It is the condemned man who will return to Scotland by the way of the law, road of death.
There is also a romanticised alternative to the lyrics. The version is sung from the point of view of a woman who mourned the death of her love, a Jacobite soldier. Another contrasting version of the song centres a Catholic Jacobite soldier who had been taken hostage by the English. He sings about his true love, his king, Bonnie Prince Charlie, who he chooses execution for to prove his loyalty. He takes the low road to demonstrate his love for the king.
You'd totally do that, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry, but like, get a grip. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but back in the day, it was different.
Yeah, maybe.
No one's doing that for Lizzie or Charles.
No.
What else lurks in our Scottish waters then?
Horses.
Of course. Sorry.
Well, Kelpies.
I actually love Kelpies.
Scottish waters are known to be supernatural, and within them, there are shape-changing aquatic kelpies. They are said to plague rivers and streams, usually in the shape of a horse. But these are no equine pleasures. They are malevolent spirits. They draw you in by seeming to be a cute, friendly pony by the river, particularly attracting children. But once a child is on their back, the kelpie will gallop into the water and eat them.
Jeez. What happened to My Little Pony, My Little Pony? Racing to the Cotton Candy Cafe.
They should do a collab.
Oh my gosh. Kelpie, My Little Pony, childhood trauma.
We lived it.
A common Scottish folktale is that of the Kelpie and the 10 children. The Kelpie lures 9 children onto its back. It then chases after the 10th child. The child strokes the Kelpie's nose and his finger becomes stuck. The only way to escape is to chop the finger off. If he manages to do this, he's free. But the other 9 children are dragged back into the water by the Kelpie, never to be seen again.
That's harsh. You lose 9 friends and a finger.
Racing to the finger replacement cafe.
Not only do they eat children, they can also use their magical powers to summon floods, killing anyone in their way.
What is the bet mum would be fooled by a Kelpie?
Oh yeah, I mean, our mum's obsessed with horses. She honestly talks about the horses more than she talks about us.
Oh, 100%. Like every single time I call her, which is less than I'd care to admit, but always, oh yeah, I'm just at the stables, I'm just with the horses, this, horse.
Which is great. Like, it's nice to have
a passion.
It's just that she loves the horses more than us. Look, truly.
We really do need that My Little Pony childhood trauma collab. Mm.
Kelpies usually appear as large black horses, but can also shapeshift into human figures, such as a beautiful woman luring unsuspecting men to their death.
Yes, which we've heard before in many folklore tales. We covered one, The Phantom Hitchhiker, yeah. Beautiful Woman by the Side of the Road.
You've got the sirens.
Yeah, you've got many of these. Would I be fooled by a beautiful man?
I'd be fooled by a beautiful woman, not a man. If I saw a beautiful woman coming out of the water, I'd be like, take me.
Fair enough.
Depending on which body of water they haunt, their form will vary. It's an unnatural connection, which is what would give the Kelpie away.
So how would you spot a Kelpie and potentially save your life? Well, considering basically every sizable loch in Scotland has a Kelpie tail, we're saving lives here. Mm-hmm. How do you spot a Kelpie, Tates?
The mane and tail of a Kelpie are said to always be wet. So that's one way that it would give them away. Mm-hmm. Also, their hooves differ from horses. But I'm sorry, but you're not going to be checking out the hooves, are you? You have to listen to this information. Never go and lift a horse's foot and check its hooves. So I don't know how helpful that actually is.
Excuse me, lady. Do you mind picking up your hoof?
I really love horses. I have ridden horses. I do feel quite connected to them. But, you know, they don't do stuff that they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And obviously when you work with them, you can get this sort of collaboration. It would be quite hard to analyse a horse to check if it's a Kelpie or not.
So basically no suspicious looking hooves and a wet tail. But apparently, well, allegedly, a Kelpie's tail hitting the water is so loud it resembles thunder. That just probably like sounds like the tube going over, you know, and it's like, that's actually just a Kelpie.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Or all the storms we've been having lately.
Yeah, but on what water?
Little Venice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've got Camden Canal. There's probably loads of Kelpies in the canal.
Oh, my gosh, definitely. But I think, yeah. Oh my God, I actually never even really thought about that we're connected via the canal.
Yeah,
in
we
Little
are.
Little Venice in Camden.
Yeah.
So sweet.
I'll ride a Kelpie to you next time.
Please do.
Kelpies are seen throughout popular culture.
Even Robert Burns talks of Kelpies in his poem. And there are also Kelpies in Dungeons and Dragons. They're like an animated mass of seaweed that can transform. It's like a sushi seaweed horse.
Mmm, delicious.
I think most people will have seen, well, pictures of anyway, the beautiful and haunting Kelpie sculptures, which are located between Falkirk and Grangemouth. They are called the Kelpies, designed by sculptor Andy Scott, and they were completed in October of 2013. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, I've only seen photos of them, but they're really breathtaking. Yeah. I would like to do that trip. Mm-hmm. So they're 2 horse head sculptures, 30 metres high and weigh 300 tonnes each, with stainless steel cladding. they're really, really magical.
Yeah. And the Kelpie's name was to reflect the strength and endurance of Scotland's inland waterways. The idea was to represent the lineage of the heavy horse of the Scottish industry and economy. As Kelpies have the strength and endurance of 10 horses, the intention reflects perfectly. Just love it when lore and industry merge.
Love that merge. As with many folklore tales, it serves as a warning for children to stay out of water. These sort of stories as protection from danger.
Yeah, exactly. And don't get fooled by hotties, because they're going to shapeshift right back.
I can't make any promises with that.
Look, I'm talking from experience, the last year of dating. So this is my warning for me to stop dating attractive musicians and actors that just walk straight out of Camden Canal. Stop. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe or follow on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on.
If you want to support us, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can follow us on Instagram at honeyinthehex.
If you have any of your own folklore stories, we would love it if you would share them with us.
Until next time, Coven.